Who's starting?
That's a good question.
You start.
Okay. Hi, everybody. We're back at Free Domain with an Izzy AMA. Yeah.
Wait, should we do a song? Let's do an opening song.
Oh, God.
Rap, country, hard metal. How about
heavy
Scandinavian
metal.
Scandinavian demon screaming?
Sounds good enough.
Izzy AMA time! All right.
Perfect. You know, just do that for every single intro. I think you'll get a whole lot of followers.
Ow. How do people do that? All right.
My goodness.
Let's do questions. Sorry, this took us a little while to get to it, but Princess Stevie here had other things to do.
What?
I'm sorry, that's my nickname for myself. Nothing to do with you.
Okay.
All right. Freedom Act. My friend's daughter is the same age as Izzy and has a pretty strong personality, yet struggles to do new things that she wants to do in front of her dad. She says she gets embarrassed, but will make attempts at the goal when he's not around. For example, she loves riding an ATV. Is that where you get money from the bank?
No.
Her dad and I and a few others ride dirt bikes. She really wants to learn to ride a dirt bike, and everyone thinks she'd have more fun with that. But she refuses to ride if her dad is there. I think it's a bit silly, but are there goals or new things you'd like to do but are too embarrassed to make attempts at if your dad is around? And to Steph, would you encourage her to make the attempts with you present or let her figure it out and come to you later with a success or failure?
Okay, that's definitely an interesting one. My guess is to the reason she doesn't want to, like, try new things when her dad is around.
Should
is because,
I leave the room for this part?
Yeah.
Okay.
Get out. No, I'm kidding. Come back. It could be because... Oh, I lost my train of thought. Dang it. It could be because she values the opinion of her dad a lot and doesn't want to, like, mess up or fail or whatever it is. Or it could be that... I mean, obviously, I don't know the dad or how the family structure is like, but it could also be that her dad is, like, rude to her, mean to her if she doesn't do stuff right for the first time. So my guess is it's probably the first option, but I mean, who knows? I guess you'll know, but I don't know.
So there's certain things where dads and moms have like a different approach to excellence or to standards. So for instance, in the kitchen, it could be said theoretically that in some family called the Bolognese, that mom might be a little bit fussy and a little bit do it her way.
Very, very fussy.
Right, right. And Bolognese, nothing to do with
that. Yeah, totally right. Not our family at all, definitely.
On the other hand, how do you feel when you watch mom, say, attempt to use an Xbox controller to rewind on a video?
Oh, no, not even an Xbox controller. Her phone that she's had for over a year and a half.
Yep.
She's like, how do I put this into the GPS? I'm like, you put stuff into the GPS every single day.
Right, right.
How do you not know?
So when you're really good at stuff, and you're good with technology, right? But when you're really good at stuff and you watch people try to do it.
No, I don't mind if they're just learning how to do it, that's fine.
Yes.
It's the problem for me is that people like her, specifically her, have had this phone for over a year and a half and still don't know the basic settings menu. It's just like, that is when it annoys me.
No, but and then in the Bolognese, again, mom would say that, you know, we've lived here for X number of years, why don't you know where the big bowls go?
Yeah, or it's like, why don't you know where the light switch is? It's like,
oh, I still fumble with light switches trying to find the right one.
They're
it's ridiculous.
So confusing in
it's
this
ridiculous.
House.
So when you are around your kids, you want them to do it right, and sometimes parents can get a little tense about the kids doing it right, getting it right.
Yeah.
And that can make the kids feel some stuff. I still want to impress you. It's really sad.
That is sad.
Wait, why is that sad for you?
Because you don't do it. I'm kidding.
No.
I'm kidding.
So, for example, we did an obstacle course recently.
Oh, yeah.
And I blew out a toe because I was just like, I want to be a cool, fit dad doing the obstacle course. I even did a hula hoop.
A hula hoop.
And I couldn't see what you doing. I assume
we
it
tied
was
pretty much, but right. I accidentally did. You were supposed to do five at the end of it, but I did. I kind of lost count in a panic and I did nine. And then I had to get my hair out of my face because I didn't bring a hair tie.
I did as many as I could do without losing a hip, which was not too many.
I think five.
Frankly. Yeah, so I still want to impress you, of course, and you want to get things right. So there can be a certain amount of tension in that. And trying to focus on the effort, not the outcome, is sort of important. I was saying to a listener the other day, don't have a definition of success that includes things you can't control, right? If I want to achieve something, I can only control what I do about it. I can't control what the other person is doing to respond, right? So I can ask for donations. I can't make people donate. So I can have a definition of success called I ask for donations. I can't have a definition of success that says I get X amount of donations.
Yes.
So focusing on the effort rather than the outcome. But especially if the dad wants to be of value to the child, right? Now, when you're very little, I mean,
everything's evaluated.
Yeah, keep you
child,
alive, yeah. and you don't have any options, and so on. Now you've got a social group of friends, you know, places to go and people to see. So maybe the dad is like, I can teach you dirt biking, and he kind of fixes on that. Like, here's how I add value.
Yeah, yeah.
But the whole point is that over the course of raising you, so to speak, I don't really think of raising you in that way, but over the course, my whole point is to provide less and less value. I think I'm achieving that, would you say?
I'd agree. Maybe a little fast, but...
No, too quickly. There's one thing, they're pushing you down a slow incline. There's another thing, just jumping off a cliff.
Yeah.
No, but the goal is for you to become self-sufficient. So the goal is, you know, like if you... where's a store you'd most like to work, or a place?
Okay.
Subway?
Yeah, Subway, maybe Zares or Food Mart or something like that.
Okay, so if you work at a Subway, let's say that you become a manager at Subway, a super manager.
Starbucks. I want to work at Starbucks.
You become a super manager at, say, Subway. Well, then you're going to hire people to open their own Subways, right?
Yeah.
Now, you're going to provide them a lot of value at the beginning. What's the goal over time?
Have them run their own Subway.
Yeah, they should do their own thing. You shouldn't have to keep managing them, right?
No.
So, he may be still trying to add a lot of value, and that means sort of over-controlling.
Yeah.
So, all right. Okay. I'm covering your eyes now.
Okay.
You can't read the next question ahead.
Okay.
This is a test. Now, it's not exactly a moral test of ultimate virtue, but it's really close to that. Okay, here's the question. Have you ever raised a hooded...
It's a duck, right?
I'm not saying that. Have you ever raised a hooded...
Merganser.
You did not get that quickly. Wait. No, it's Merganser.
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 Merganser? A hooded... See, I would have said hooded fang. I would have said, isn't there a hooded mongoose that fights snakes or something like that?
I assume this had something to do with ducks because you gave it to me as a quiz.
Have you ever raised a hooded merganser?
No, they're too expensive to buy.
Really?
They're exotic in terms of like when you, like from what I've seen on websites, the only one I can find where you can buy one, it's like $200 for, $400 for a pair.
$200?
For a pair, I believe. Yeah, they're expensive.
And now, is that because they're really pretty? Like those mando
they're
ducks
pretty
that
and
you simply
rare.
Refuse to get for me?
They're also, I'm pretty sure they're ocean birds.
Okay, so he says, I found a duckling in my yard.
Okay.
Okay, so only... no, I have a question for you then.
What
is my question?
Why haven't we found ducklings?
Why haven't you found me a $200 duckling in my yard?
Because we don't live next to an ocean.
Oh, right. I found a duckling in my yard, and he'll only eat fish. How do I get him on duck food?
Ooh, that's going to be tricky, because hooded mergansers only eat fish. They don't eat duck food or anything like a mallard or a domesticated duck would. Like Muscovies and anything that's derived off of a mallard, which you can look that up because I'm not going to get into it. But mergansers will only eat fish throughout their lives. They may eat a few bugs, maybe occasionally meat, but they are ocean, pond, lake birds kind of thing. So that's
do they eat the like the do they eat the tartar sauce and
no.
the breaded and the bun or just
the
fish?
Just the fish.
Okay. Now, are you ready for what I call a DPE? A DPE is a destabilizing parental event.
Okay.
Okay. So this was a logic test. I actually wrote this question. Maybe. You see, it says Steve.
Steve. Steve.
Bam. Steve.
Okay.
Okay. Steve Steele.
Yeah, yes.
All right. So this is a logic quest. All right. So he says he'll only eat fish. How do I get him on duck food? So this is a logical question.
No, it's not.
No, it is a logical question. If he only eats fish, what is the definition of duck food for a hooded merganser?
Fish.
Oh, see? How do I get him on duck food? He'll only eat fish.
Okay.
Fish is the duck
he
food.
Like,
he's already on duck food.
Okay, he means like duck pellets or something that you find at like whatever the other questions
I know,
places you get.
I know what he means. I'm just saying.
Sure All you
right.
do.
Okay. Do you feel like you missed out by not having the typical educational experience? Would you say that you plan to homeschool any future children you may have? I homeschooled my two kids and neither plan to homeschool their own children.
Oh, not good. Not good. Okay, so I don't think I missed out by having the typical educational experience because I can understand that in high school, like grade 9, which is what I'm at now, it would kind of suck to not have like friends and stuff, but there's like a homeschooling group we joined. It's been pretty great. We met a lot of good people and stuff like that, right? So I would say that I count that as better than the typical educational experience because I still have less work than your average school kid. I'm not getting a flurry of woke agenda unless it's from my peers, but that's not very common.
Yeah.
And so I'd say it's I don't think I missed out at all. In fact, I think I gained by not going. And yes, I do plan to homeschool future children I have, unless the schooling systems are better then. But I highly doubt that'll happen.
Yeah, hold your breath.
I mean, like, if the school systems are closer, or at least kind of like they were back in your generation, but without the wokeness, then I would consider being like, okay, maybe not when you're like 6 or 7. When you get older, like high school, go to school. But right now, like, if it's the schools stay like this or get worse, then no.
Yeah, I mean, my school experience was boring, but not foundationally terrifying. I mean, there was stuff like the fear of nuclear war and so on.
But that didn't get, like, every single day, global warming.
Or whatever it's going to be, right?
Like, civil war.
It's nice. You know, one of the benefits you get from homeschooling is a fairly robust belief that you actually have a future on this planet that's not going to turn into the sun.
Well, if you're going to, I mean, say the world is about to heat up and explode or whatever, then why am I spending my days learning calculus?
Right. I wonder why his kids don't want to be homeschooled. Maybe they got too isolated. Maybe they got... Because there's a thing, when your kids are younger, you basically are fairly happy with your parents and a couple of friends. But as you get into your teenage years, you want more peers, you want more opportunities to go to parties and dances and so on. And so maybe... Into the teenage years, he didn't find a way to get his kids into more of a social environment, which I think is important.
Yeah.
All right. Hi, Steph. Did I understand correctly that in order to choose a mate, it is important to be able to answer the question, what virtue did you bring / are you currently bringing to the world? In Izzy's case, considering her young age, I'd like to ask what she's planning. Like, do you have...
What virtue will I bring and what virtue might my partner bring?
I would say, do you... I think the question is... What sort of standards do you think you'll have for a guy you might consider dating and or marrying?
Honestly, just good conversationalists, similar beliefs, and not, like, super moody or angry or whatever it is. Like, decent enough.
Why not?
Smart.
Why not?
I wonder. No, but I mean, like, also someone smart enough who can actually provide for, like, a large family, because I do want to have a lot of kids and stuff, so... I mean,
I think good sense of humor.
Yeah, that's important.
Because you're very funny, in my opinion, right? You make a lot of jokes. Ability to withstand endless, if he's losing his hair at some point in his life, endless tiny hair tickles.
Yes, because what I'll do, so my dad, he has tiny little tufts, just a little bit on the top, so I'll slightly put my hand above that, and it's very ticklish for
him. It's very much like if you've ever had
a... He totally loves it. If you guys ever meet him, just do that. He'll love it, for sure.
If you've ever had a stick insect walk across your head, it's way worse than that. And it just comes out of nowhere.
I can make it even worse than that. No rush.
So, I think good sense of humor, smart, good provider. Obviously, I think he'll want to be into homeschooling and he'll want you to stay home with the kids.
Yeah, look, I don't
want to put words in your mouth.
Yeah, no,
like
I don't
that.
Expect, like, when I first meet the guy, everything that we believe to, like, align or whatever. Obviously, there's going to be some back and forth. I'm sure my opinions will change a bit. But, I mean, I'm not looking for someone who's exactly like me, who believes everything I believe, kind of thing, so.
How did your friends... learn the nickname Eggy?
Right. Okay, so that's only...
Sorry, that's not a question. That's only a question a little further down. I'm just, you know,
Sure. So that was just... we were playing... it was just one friend, I may add. And right. She's younger. Well, I won't say any names, but...
Yeah.
So we were playing... I asked her, do you have any nicknames for your dad? And she... I forget what she said. And she asked you for yours, and I said Eggy.
Because I cracked lots of yolks. Sorry.
That was not a good part.
No, that was not good.
No.
All right. Hello, Izzy. I have a lovely 8-year-old daughter for sale. No, and I wanted,
for sale?
And
what?
I wanted your thoughts on what I could do to help her make friends with good people without embarrassing her. Wait, why is he asking you, not me?
I wonder.
This part is probably more for Steph concerning... doing play dates with your daughter's friends when the other parent has to be the mom. I feel uncomfortable in that situation. Did you encounter this? And if so, how did you handle it? So when you're a stay-at-home dad, you enter into the world of women, right? Because it's moms who do most of the stuff because most of the dads are
working
out of the home or whatever, away from home. So you kind of just have to arrange stuff. I mean, if it's a long, old-term friend and every spouse knows each other and so on, I'm sure that's fine. I've done a couple of things with moms over the years in terms of social engagements.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I think you just basically have to plan for group activities.
Yeah, because it's kind of awkward, but...
Yeah, if, like, your kids become friends and you and the mom... I don't know if you're a single dad or not, but if you and the mom are just doing stuff together, you and someone else's wife... I mean, it can feel a little odd after a while.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's this old joke. It's not kind of a joke about, like, women have an at-home husband and they have a work husband. And the work husband is the one who kind of gives them assignments and so on. And
like their boss.
Yeah, like their boss or whatever. So you don't want to be the sort of tier two husband guy in that kind of situation. So
yeah, I'd say do, like, a group with, like, a bunch of kids and stuff so it's not too awkward.
So with regards to embarrassing teenagers...
Embarrassing. Wait, why do you bring this one up?
Because he says without embarrassing her.
Yeah, but she's 8.
So, I will tell you my theory of embarrassment.
Okay.
Do you want to guess it?
No.
Maximum. No. So, my theory of embarrassment is that occasionally it can be a little funny. Like, we'll sort of make jokes about me dancing in public or whatever. I don't actually do it, right? But occasionally it can be a little funny, and that's like a little inoculation. Like, it's okay to be a little embarrassed, and you'll survive, right?
Yeah.
But you don't really want to... You know, because teenagers are finding their way in the world. You don't want to just be super embarrassing because that becomes uber cringe and can actually be kind of paralyzing.
Yeah, so, for sure.
Yeah, a little bit is, you know, it's kind of like making fun of someone's appearance. A little light touch can be kind of funny.
Yeah.
But you don't want to overdo it to the point where they don't want to leave the house.
Well, yeah. I mean, what was I going to say? I forget. Hold on. You know what? Never mind.
If you remember.
Oh, yeah. No, I was saying, like, it's good to have a little bit of embarrassment because, like, obviously when I'm with my friends or whatever, like, I'll say stuff or something will happen. I'll be like, oh, that's embarrassing, right?
Yeah.
But then you have to think about, like, look, it's not that bad. No one ever, if you ever feel, like, cringing back on yourself or whatever it is, because I know almost everybody does that at some point, right? Look, think about other times when somebody else, think about other embarrassing things that people have done and think, like, you don't feel that bad about them. No one really thinks about it, trust me.
Yeah.
No, but that's also just because you're the only person in the world who ever does embarrassing things, and that's why. No, I'm kidding.
It's funny, too, because there's an old Greek philosopher, Roman philosopher, he said, it's strange how everybody loves themselves the most but values other people's opinions more.
Yeah, that's very, very true.
And, yeah, I mean, you're able to get over how other people think of you when you realize how little it happens for the most part.
And yeah, you know, being inoculated against, I guess, getting embarrassed, it's a good thing because then you don't feel bad about yourself when you do something that may be cringy or embarrassed or make a joke that people don't get or whatever it is.
How much of your dad's novel, The Present, have you read? What do you think? What is your favorite scene? Who is your favorite character? Okay, a couple of spoilers here, just in case you haven't read it.
Skip over this part if you haven't read it.
All right.
So... We helped make actually, like, the whole book.
Yeah, we sat down and we designed the chapters, we designed the story arcs, we talked about the characters. I mean, it was part of homeschooling, and we had a lot of fun, except for one part, which was your favorite scene.
Yeah, the hunting scene in the woods. I was like, we were kind of in the car, and I'm just like, you know, this has been a lot of, like, city stuff. Can we, like, do
No, it wasn't just city stuff. It was the girly stuff.
Yeah.
We got the sisters. We've got...
Emotional. We got
emotional
babies.
Stuff.
It's like, can we do hunting?
And it's, you know, there's the men's rights stuff in there as well. And I think that,
but
ironically...
that's still girly. There's still girls there.
Yeah. But I think that as far as the book goes, and I'm not... It wasn't, you know, I don't think it was a super proud moment of mine as a whole. But I think it was something like you as the 14-year-old girl saying...
Man up your book.
Yeah, your book needs to be a bit more manly. Like, maybe we can include something like...
Hunting.
Hunting, right?
No, I just said, can we do a hunting scene?
Right, and of course, as a man, I thought you immediately... I thought you meant blow darts for hummingbirds.
I mean, that's very manly.
Very manly.
Very, 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 very manly, of course.
No, and so I think that you were right. And, you know, like, there's some survivalists there, and, you know, we...
They're going to do hunting.
We've got a whole lot of men's themes. Maybe we could actually have some male activities... So that was very good. So yeah, we basically had some disagreements overall about the ending, but I think we're okay with it now. And yeah, I mean, you were very, very important in helping me put that book together, for which I'm very grateful. What is your favorite scene? The hunting? Who is your favorite character? Other than the author, of course.
Okay.
Wait, sorry. We didn't exactly, after talking about manning up the book, having me yodel and warble probably doesn't help man up the podcast.
No,
anyway.
I don't think so. So, okay, maybe a bit of a surprise. I liked Arlo.
Is he got a soft spot for the pretty boys?
No, it's not that. It's because I think it's like, he's kind of like shallow at the start, but he actually kind of has some deep aspects to him, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I liked him more before I heard his voice, like when you did the like voice acting or the
audiobook.
Yeah,
and that's very much an interpretation, right? I don't know his voice. Yeah, right? Yeah. That's just what I was thinking of.
And okay, so this is a bit of an obscure reference. So Arlo, we named him, I know it's an actual name and we learned that later on, We named him off of lactose-free cheese called Arla. There's a company called Arla. And
is it Arlo or Arla?
Arla.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I made a joke, name him Arla, right? Because it sounded so girly. And then we were actually like, hey, how about we do Arlo? So I call him Cheese Boy because it's funny.
Yes.
I think at one point we were listening to one of the audiobook chapters and you said, what should we title this one? I said, Cheese Boy Sad, because it was one of...
Oh, yeah, that's right. We're going to have subtitles. And when he was really depressed over the breakup...
Cheese Boy Sad.
Cheese Boy Sad. That was great.
Yeah, I'd say Arlo is probably my favorite character. You know, Oliver is good, but he's so, like, one note, in my opinion. A lot of him is just, like, manly. That's, like, all his...
He's man.
That's his personality, and, like, occasionally a few jokes, but mostly just manliness doing shipping, which is manly.
Yes. And hunting.
And hunting. It's manly.
Yes, he is man. He's like the ancestor of Roman or something from the future.
Yeah.
All right.
That's my opinion on it.
Okay. What will the world be like in the 2080s? I have no idea.
No idea.
I have no idea. Right. Hi, Izzy. Hope you're doing well. Okay. So my question is, what have you learned through homeschooling that you reckon you would never have learned if you'd gone to public or private school?
Anything decent. Except for math.
Yeah. I mean, I think the math would have been the same. Some of the English would have been the grammar and so on.
It would have been, oh my gosh.
But you wouldn't have been allowed to. So what's the one thing you have as a condition for writing?
Mockery! I love mocking, man, okay? But look, so for me, when it comes to, like, when it gives me some writing assignment, I think one of the other ones yesterday, because we use, like, just a workbook and it'll give you stuff. The workbook's, like, a little woke, but, I mean, it's doable. We just skip over some of the woke stuff or whatever it is, but, like, they'll give you some woke assignments, like, talk about global warming. It's like, okay. I mean, I'll talk about it.
Oh, you talk about global warming, yeah.
But one of them was, like, what is some, like, painting or art that has really influenced you or your family or culture, whatever it is, right? And so obviously I made it very funny because look, what 14-year-old's gonna have some painting that's like really influenced them? Come on. What are they writing this for? 20-year-old woke women? I mean,
yeah.
But so I instead, like, my mom said I had to make it at least art related, so I got mad. I'll talk about this here because it's kind of interesting. So there's some painting or art apps that I use because I do a lot of digital art, and most of the there's communities built in with the apps. Like, there's actually a whole like website that you can just get right from the app. There's a lot of people, they share their drawings that they've made on there. You can see time lapses and they comment, so it's cool. It's a nice community, but
it's horrible and it raises my contempt for humanity.
Yes, it does, actually.
Just my experience. Because you're like, oh, look at all the top pictures. I'm like, this is all like anime garbage for the
most part.
I
know, it really is, but I don't...
Can anyone draw anything real? Anything with skill? Anything with actual human musculature?
Sorry, never. But, like, I like the anime art style because it focuses on the lighting, and it's definitely fun to draw because you don't have to really be bound by realism, but...
Yeah, you start with eyeballs the size of Jupiter and just work your way out from there.
Yeah, pretty much. Just two giant eyes is the whole anime thing. But it's good lighting practice, I find, and shading and stuff. But anyways, that's not the thing. The issue for me is on these, like, drawing or art apps or whatever it is, I'll sometimes... I don't comment often, but if I see a drawing that's like, okay, you have potential, but this is just really bad... Then I'll say, look, you know, I think if you need to work a little more on the shading and some of the lighting, and maybe, you know, when you're going over with the line art, there's a tool that can help you, like, when you're still learning how to go really smooth lines, there's a tool that helps you do that, right? Yep. I say, but I think it was still a good drawing. I'll say
coaching,
that. I don't do it in a way that's rude. I don't say your art sucks. Like, I don't say that stuff, right?
Yeah.
But all the comments are like, that's so mean. You got to be supportive. Like, all the replies to me. Or it's like, well, I don't post my drawings. You can post your drawings in the app. I don't do that. But they're like, so I assume they check my profile and see any drawings. Like, well, what gives you the right to criticize art when you haven't drawn, when you can't draw yourself or you haven't drawn anything yourself?
Oh, right? You haven't published any of your pictures.
Yeah. Right. So for people to criticize. And I'm like, okay, so if I'm not allowed to criticize something that I don't do, at least, I mean, obviously I do draw a lot and I do say, like, obviously there are a lot of people on there that are much better than me, but usually the people I criticize are people who aren't better than me because I want them to get better and learn how to draw.
I want suggestions, yeah.
I don't even criticize that much. I'll just be like, you know, maybe work a little more on the lighting.
Yeah.
But they'll be like, what gives you the right to do that if you haven't posted anything yourself, right? It's like, okay, look, so have you ever criticized food from a professional chef? It's like, well, you never made this past yourself. You're not allowed to criticize it. Or have you ever seen a movie and not liked it? Well, that's rude. You've never made a movie. Right? I mean, it's just such a hypocritical like thing to say.
Well, also, as you, I think you were about to say earlier, but you were, it was something like, so criticism is really bad, but you can criticize me.
Yeah, yeah. So criticizing is bad, but you criticize me for saying that. But also another thing is like, how are you supposed to get better without criticism?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I would show art to my friends when I was younger, and they'd be like, maybe do this a little more, and I'd be like, oh, thanks. No, and I got better at it, but most of my stuff is self-taught. But again, also, I still got criticism that I used
But it's also confusing because my show has, I think, improved over the years without any criticism. Like, I've never seen any criticism of me ever anywhere. So that's a different kind of situation.
I thought you were being serious, but there's no way.
That's called deadpan humor.
Yeah.
What else was I going to mention about that? Oh, yeah. So it's really terrible because what happens is they're just shifting the burden down the road. So all of these people, they never receive any criticism, never any suggestions, never any coaching. They think everything they do is perfect and wonderful. And then they go out into the world and someone hires them. And what does their boss have to do?
Hey, you need to fix
this. Yeah, this is not good. You made the coffee wrong. You made the sandwich wrong. You didn't bring that person their drink. Like that, and then they, because they have
no... They get really mad and overwhelmed.
Yeah, and you're crippling people and putting them out into a world that has to judge them objectively.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really cruel to people to withhold any negative feedback from them until they get out into the world. And it's putting a huge burden on employers... who have to tell these people with all these delicate, you know, you got to like...
It's like when you get criticism at work and you have a mental breakdown, like those people, it's like, oh my goodness.
You are not helping people by withholding criticism from them. And I think it's fair to say that in the friends that you have who are boys...
Okay, all my friends, because I'll be honest. I've kind of like, all my friends are a bunch of guys, pretty much.
Yep, and the guys with each other are pretty objective.
Very objective. Yeah. In fact, they'll fake insult each other. Like, the girls fake compliment each other.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll be like, oh, that dress is so pretty, when it's actually like, the ugliest dress you've seen in weeks.
Right.
But the guys are just, like, disgusting.
Yeah, yeah. You suck.
You suck. There was this meme. It's kind of a bit related, but it was like, the girls were like, am I fat? Oh my gosh, no, you're stunning, you're beautiful, right? And the guys are like, am I fat? Dude, I know 5 fat people and you're 4 of them.
Yeah, I remember that one. That was great.
Yeah.
All right, good stuff. All right. Yes.
That kind of went off topic a bit for the question, but you know, whatever.
On what issues do you disagree with Steph on?
I mean, like, there's some stuff that I kind of disagree on, but it's not like... any real big issues, because usually, like...
We'll talk about anything that we have a disagreement on.
If it's, like, obviously, if it's, like, midday, and we're like, what do you want to do today?
We'll have different agreements.
We'll have different opinions. So, obviously, there's, like, little stuff. We disagree on little stuff all the time, where it's, like, what do you want to do, or, like, what do you want to go place for dinner, whatever it is, whatever.
I mean...
Whatever. But, I mean, when it comes to actual, like, big things, I think we pretty much agree on almost everything.
Well, we don't agree with each other. Like, it's not like... If I say there's such a thing as gravity, you're not agreeing with me, you're agreeing with gravity. If I say 2 and 2 make 4, you're not agreeing with me, you're agreeing with a fact, right? So this idea that you're I think this is a bit of a troll question, and I don't think the guy means it in a troll way. But this is kind of a trick or trap question. So how do you answer this? You say, no, I agree with my dad on anything, and then what do people think?
Oh, you're just a puppet, right?
Yeah, you don't have any opinions of your own, you're a void filled by his verbal blah, 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 right?
Yeah, yeah.
And if you say, well, no, we have lots of disagreements, then it looks like we don't get along.
Yeah.
You know, so, no, we try to agree with reality, and we try to accommodate each other. I mean, there are certain approaches that you have that are different. So I have the lost little lamb compulsion. When you were younger, we'd go to play centers or playgrounds or whatever, and there'd be the kids who I can't complete the sentence.
Who didn't have any parents who were playing with them, because their moms were just sitting on their phones.
Right, so you have the lost kids who are looking for fun.
They don't want to play with each other because obviously the parent's cooler.
And I'm the dad, and they're like...
He was like one of the only people who would actually go in were the dads, and often it was very rare that the dads be at the playground because they were working.
Yeah. So I would I would take them in to play, and we'd arrange games, and that'd be okay with you for a little bit, but then you'd be like, no, I want my dad time, so whatever,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no sharing of the father.
So, and I think that... you have a, I won't say harsher, you have a more absolute perspective on new people that we meet than I do. And I think that you're right about that more than I am.
I am. Usually, like, when we meet someone, I get my opinions very fast.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be like, this person's bad, this person's good. And that often, I cannot think of a time where that's been wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes they're a little better or a little worse than I thought, but, like, it's generally
you're always in
the
vicinity.
Area.
You might not be right in the bullseye, but you're always in the rings.
Yeah, and you're often a lot more...
You give them another chance!
You and Mom are especially a lot more hopeful. Like, Mom will be like, oh, I met this great person, or, you know, you'd be great friends, then I meet her or him or whatever. It's like, no.
Yeah. So, and I think that I've learned from you in that, like, that yeah, trust your instincts, right? All right. How much time do you spend working, studying by yourself compared to working with your dad / others? How has this changed from when you were very young compared to now?
I think when I was young, like when we were homeschooling and stuff, I would get a lot more instruction. But now it's like I have a math class I take. It's like once a week. And there will be it's like an hour and they go through the coursework. And then you have like 6 or 7 pages that you have to do throughout the week, right? Yeah. I have been getting... You know, math is actually, it's, like, still annoying and boring to do, but it's been getting a lot easier, because right now what I'm doing, it's, like, almost the end of the year for, like, at least that stuff. I still often do work throughout the summer, but, like, the official courses that we sometimes will take are, like, and start in, like, fall, end in spring kind of thing. So I think next week is, like, the last lesson, but they finally ended on probability, which is, I'd say, really the only thing in math that I'm really good at, because everything else, it's, like, what is this? Why is there an X here? Why are we dividing? It's, like... But probability is the one thing I'm good at. So I'd say...
Because of?
Catan.
And?
Role-playing.
Yeah, Dungeons & Dragons, Catan, dice rolls, and all that. Well, we got used to probability.
The first examples they gave, it was with the dice rolls. It's like, what are the... It sounds very simple, and for me it was, but I think a lot of kids have issues with this. But it was like, what are the probabilities if you roll 2 six-sided die that you're going to get each number? And since we've played this game, Settlers of Catan, which every single round you have to roll 2 six-sided die.
And they even have dots on the placeholders, right?
Yeah.
The probabilities.
But it was just like, if you roll this 36 times, how much you... Done. Like, it's I get that very fast, but right. I think a lot of kids had issues with that because she spent a really long time on the lesson going over that specific thing. But everything else, she just... I pretty much can figure it out by myself. Worst comes to worst, I end up watching a YouTube video. Because those can be very instructive, more so than a parent. Sorry. But, yeah, honestly, I'd say I do a lot of it by myself.
I saw this meme.
Oh, pulling out the memes.
No, this is, all right.
Microsoft.
All right. Microsoft Office. What is the exact opposite of each mini word?
Each mini word, so micro would be huge,
macro,
large.
Yeah,
macro. Soft would be like hard,
yeah,
or rough or whatever it was. I don't know. Okay, so off would be on, ice would be warm.
Like so hot. It's macro, hard, on fire.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was good. I just thought that was kind of clever.
Funny,
right?
Yeah.
All right. This one's too long. Socializing, yeah.
What?
I mean, this is the question, but I think we talked about it before. Like, homeschoolers, they don't get socialized.
Oh, no, I have a ton of socializing. And even before that, I mean, in this group that we're in, we meet up, like, once or twice a week. It became more often when I joined the stage crew and stuff for the play that they did, whatever. I mean, like, but I still made it into, like, a very, I'd say the popular kids. I don't mean to brag or anything, but even in, like, a couple months I was there. So, I mean, despite not having... social life or whatever when I was younger. I'm clearly very skilled socially because I can make it to certain groups whenever I want. Like, I've gotten into every single friend group I wanted to in the school.
Yeah, and...
just, like, talking. It's not any external thing. Like, the parents arrange meetups for us. It's just, like, at school I go up to them and be like, hey, what's up kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I get very confused looks, but I'm like, whatever.
And you fall into the rhythm of particularly, I mean, because you've had a stay-at-home, but I think a stay-at-home dad, you fall into the rhythm of particularly male humor very easily and well.
Oh, I can't. The girls' humor just... They don't have humor.
They do have scolding, though.
Look, the humor they have is, like... It's not inappropriate jokes, but just, like, woke jokes kind of thing and stuff. But, like, the boys' humor is very much what the humor I have, so I just kind of fit into that group better.
Hi, Izzy. Could you ever see yourself living or working in a different country one day? If so, what part of the world would you be interested in? Have you ever felt any sort of connection towards England, Scotland, Ireland, or Germany, given your dad's heritage? Or Greece, of course.
Yeah. No, honestly, if I went anywhere, it'd be Denmark, I think. It's a very, like, Republican state, or not state, country, what am I saying, yeah. country.
And you started learning some Danish.
Yeah, a while back.
Yeah.
I don't know why I did. I was just like, I need to learn a language, and I went for Danish.
I couldn't live in Denmark because I would just want breakfast pastries all the time.
Oh, I know.
I don't know why.
It would be quite funny. I'm pretty short originally, but I apparently in Denmark, like, everybody is ridiculously tall.
Well, that's true of your friends as well.
That's true. I get mocked for being short. They're like, imagine being less than like 5'10".
Well, it's the other thing too. Like, we went for a walk the other night, and I was like, dude,
why are you
speeding along like you're in some sort of Olympic contest?
Yeah, to me, it's because, like, I'm walking with all these people who are like 6 feet tall, and I have to walk really fast.
More than six, some of them.
Yeah. But also, another thing is... I think we were in a pool or something. We were doing some pool party, right?
Yeah.
And they were in the deep end. They could all stand, and I was swimming. And they just turned to me, and they're like, imagine having to swim.
Imagine not being able to stand in the pool.
Yeah, I'm like, imagine.
That's very funny.
It was quite funny, though.
So that's it for the questions. Really, really appreciate it. Thanks, everyone, for asking them. Pop in more at freedomain.locals.com. We'll get more.
Yes.
Questions in. And, upcoming plans.
Yes, so I wanted to mention this. I know that there's going to be, I assume from what I've seen from the trailer, a very bad and a very woke Little Mermaids remake, or whatever it is, like live action, like hyper-realistic thing. So
we'll do that.
We're going to do a review of that. I think it comes out like next month or later this
we'll
month
do a
or whatever
of
it
Little
is,
Mermaid.
But I'd be very interested in that.
Was there another movie that we were going to
do? I believe there was. We were thinking, I mean, this is quite a long time, but the game Five Nights at Freddy's, I'm sure you guys have heard of it. It was a very, like, hugely, it was like the game a few years ago.
It went from Among Us to Five Nights at Freddy's, would you say? Was there an overlap?
No, Five Nights at Freddy's was around way before Among Us.
Was it really?
Among Us was 2020, and Five Nights at Freddy's like 2017.
And did it get big right away?
It got big quite fast, from my knowledge, but they're making a movie on it, and that's coming out in October. So I know that's quite a long time away, but we're going to be doing a show on that as well, like a review. I know there's a couple other movies that came out through over the summer, but we'll figure it out. You know, when they come out, we'll see trailers and be like, we got to do this. But yeah, we're hoping to do a lot more movie reviews because there seems to be a lot of good woke ones coming out. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, once we liked like the Dungeons and Dragons movie and all
that.
That
was a great movie. That's one of my favorites, honestly.
And so, yeah, we'll go do some more movie reviews. And thanks, everyone. freedomain.com/donate. Please like, share, and subscribe. As usual, thanks, Izzy, for the show.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Bye. Talk to you soon.